Welcome back, Pickers Market, episode 110. Joined with me, we've got Lisa, Keith, and we have a special guest.
What's going on here?
La Gorilla.
Let's do this today.
It's just beat.
Let's do this.
All right, before we get into it, we're going to start off Two Truths and a Lie, which we always do for every episode.
Okay.
So we are at a special resort this week, so we're going to do Two Truths and a Lie about the resort. So, the resort is home to wild spider monkeys, coatis, and numerous tropical bird species that guests frequently spot around the property.
Okay.
B, guests can reach their rooms by golf cart, bicycle, walking paths, or boats, depending on where they're staying. Boats is kind of cool. Every guest room at the resort has a private plunge pool.
Okay.
Nice.
We'll start with our special guest.
I haven't taken the boat to my room. I didn't know that was a feature that I had access to. Not much water around my room either, so.
I don't know, maybe a catamaran just pull you right up.
However, there are the other ones that were in that category apply. I'm going with plunge pool since I've seen the animals and I've done the bikes and the golf carts.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a strong answer. I'm going to have to agree with that because I've seen the animals. I almost got bit by one of those raccoon Cody thing.
Raccoons.
So yeah, I'm going.
You're going plunge pool. Okay.
Yeah.
Lisa.
I think I go with that too. I saw the animals as well. I yet to have to make contact with one of them.
You gonna try and pet one?
Yep, I'll try. No, probably not. But yeah, I see. I think the plunge pool is not. Not
well, I didn't get either any of you, unfortunately. So
you didn't get us today, Tyler.
Yeah, it is C. So
all right.
But we are joined by a special guest.
Yeah, yeah. You know, anytime you guys are having a podcast in a location like this, I'm happy to join. That I'm not happy to join other times, but
this is the time.
It's a little different than our normal podcast.
I like this setup better. Oh. Where are we?
I don't know. You tell us, Brian.
We are at the Gradient Gala, and we are in Mayacoba, Mexico.
Nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
Beautiful.
Weather's been perfect. Lisa joined me on a catamaran yesterday with some of our advisors out there.
We had a blast.
Did anybody go snorkeling?
There were some snorkels out there. We mostly just hung out on floaties and just kind of kicked it. Mm-hmm. There were over-the-water bungalows out in this one resort that's out here. Yeah, like felt like we were in Bora Bora over there. So that was pretty cool. And much like the markets, it was volatile going out. And then with Lisa's help,
we smoothed it out.
There was a lot of volatility on the way out, though. It was somewhere about to feed the fish, as the driver said.
What have you been doing this week?
I've been just working, grinding. It's a little pool action.
Oh, yesterday you've been in the jungle.
He's been working.
Did you? And ATVing.
Oh, you did ATV.
Oh,
how was that?
Fantastic. Right through the jungle.
Was it hot?
It was hot. It was all hot.
At least we cooled off in the ocean, but you were like.
No, it was nice to get back to the pools and kind of settle back in.
Did you cool off in your own plunge pool?
I did not have a plunge. Everybody's got it. Do you have a plunge pool?
Maybe.
Lisa?
I might have seen one on my balcony, but
no, I don't.
Okay, so every room doesn't have a plunge pool.
Every room does not have a plunge pool.
Well, there we prove the theory. Luckily, we had one and you didn't, so it proved the theory.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
But it's a very nice place. It's lovely.
Bilo, do you want to explain why you were the gorilla?
If you don't know about the gorilla, when we first started in the garage in Topeka, Kansas, we had this, I don't know how many square feet this place was, maybe 1,400, 1,600. And it was what we had set up our desks, and Tammy and April Lee had painted the place themselves. And it was an old abandoned Air Force base, Forbes Field in Topeka. And so we painted it, and we call it the garage because it had a garage door. The guy behind us did the airbrush painting, like you used to get in spring break back to like circa 92.
Yeah.
So he had actually painted kind of our sign, and he painted the inside of this garage door. Still see it in some of our orientation videos for new hires.
Yep.
Outside of that, it was this big, I bet he weighs a couple thousand pounds, this big cement gorilla. And no one ever knew why it was there. It didn't have a business above it. It just sat out there. And so he kind of became our unofficial mascot all the time. Kind of where the gorilla comes from. Man.
How many years ago was that?
21 come July.
Wow.
Yep, so we're 20, July 5th will be our 21st anniversary.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Because for the 20-year anniversary, every employee for their anniversary got like a little stuffed gorilla.
Stuffed gorilla, yep. That's the story of the gorilla.
Yeah.
So one day I want to bring him back to Minneapolis. I just logistically can't figure out how to do it. And I don't know if he'll hold up in the transfer.
Yeah. Is the gorilla still in existence?
Yeah, he's still there.
For real?
Still same spot.
Oh, wow.
No one's, well, this, well it's not going to shock you if you were to see it, but no one's rented this place since us.
Oh. So,
it's kind of a quiet building.
So we'll get into some investing stuff in a little bit, but we are at a special place. So Brian, can you just give us a give us the backstory to why we're here, what this event really is?
Sure. The Gradient Gala is our top 250 or top 200 financial services professionals that qualify for the gala to come here. So kind of what the origination of these things are is everybody works so hard in their business and on their business. I mean, most of them are entrepreneurs. They've all earned their own business. And even if they're a junior advisor, they're still really working like it's their own business. I mean, their production and what they do is is directly correlated to how successful they are. So, it's nice to get away and get with other people that do it. I guess that's B, is we have at Gradient 320 people that, if you have a good day, everybody can, great job, Keith. You have a bad day, like, Tyler, listen to what I did today. Tyler, like, oh, you think that's bad? Listen to this. Yeah. You have that, corporate colleague structure where most of them don't have that in their offices. It might be, two or three, four people, not saying all the culture there, but it's just different. Where here, you have 200 of them together to share ideas, to better their practice. We obviously do some business meetings here, but we spend time with on the catamarans, and you can kind of break down all of the, official business and really talk about what's important to people and really connect with the people, and that's why it's so special.
Yeah, plus they bring their family, which is super exciting to actually meet the family. It's great.
Somebody yesterday was in the pool, and they had brought their daughter. Their daughter was probably mid-30s or so and had their two little kids in. The daughter kind of works in the business. Kids don't, but they bring them here just for the experience to be with everybody because it's such a unique gathering of people. Like, even the staff always talks to me about, they're like, what is this that you guys are doing here? Like, I don't get it. Why is everybody hugging everybody? How do you know everybody? It's it is unique.
It is.
It's a cool experience.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it's good, like you said, just get the FSPs away from the office. And it's not even just the enjoyment of being here, but they also network.
Yes.
And so they start talking about their, like last night, the amount of people I heard talking about their business at the bar.
Yeah.
Was, they're sharing ideas, trying to figure out what's best practice. So I think that's also an important part.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, you talk about your business and your passion and hobbies. It just so happens that a lot of our passions and hobbies are the business.
Sure. Yeah. No.
As we sit here.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So market talk. Lisa's not happy with me because I didn't prepare much.
What?
That's right. I got questions.
That's unheard of.
The plan was to do it on the plane. Ended up taking a nap. Watched the movie.
Good for you.
So we landed. Anyways, but there's a lot of news going on. So I want to start with U.S. and Iran because that's been probably the hottest topic. I know we'll get to SpaceX.
Maybe a little more meat to it today.
Okay. But US-Iran on, what was that, Sunday night when we were here, we got news that there was a structure in place for a deal. But like every other deal that we've heard about, it slowly started to unwind. Mm-hmm. So is that, Lisa, like what we're going to see for the foreseeable future is announcement of a deal, market jumps up, and then all of a sudden it kind of trickles back and, oh, we don't actually have a deal.
I think this one, which is it called like the 15 points piece plan or
they
whatever?
They keep on changing.
They keep on changing the names and all of that and what it actually contains, but it should be signed on Friday. So this time I have the feeling it's a little bit more meat on the bones of what it actually is. There's still not a whole lot out there. It's not signed yet. But it should lead, and I think that's important for the market, to the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, which is fantastic. We saw it in the oil prices. They came down dramatically because of that. I think, could it be sustainable? I hope so, certainly. I mean, we heard some ups and downs lately, peace plan or no. I think this one is the first one that I think has some merit that it really can get through. At least both sides are finally maybe agreeing. But with that being said, just because the Strait of Hormuz opens, we don't know exactly when that will happen. And even if it does, not everything goes back to normal day one.
Right.
We still have, I mean, the global oil reserves are depleted in every country nearly. That needs to be filled up, right? Europe is having winter stuff coming up. I mean, we hardly believe we're in Mexico, it's sun, but they have to fill up their strategic reserves. So that's an issue that's coming up soon. And they need time until all of that is flowing back and then they're backed up. And so I think we still have some struggles down the road, but I think it would be a relief if we have something flowing again.
Where's all this oil from Venezuela?
Where is it?
Maybe not yet there.
Jog on down. Yeah.
Let's take a catamaran down and check it out.
It
supplies more than everybody else in the world, all this stuff, and it's now we don't have any?
Well, that's the thing about oil, right? It's fungible, so you can move it anywhere.
You got to get it out of the ground.
Yeah, 100%. You have to get it out of the ground, and other countries take it too. So it moves around. You don't know exactly, is that Venezuela oil going here, or is it going there? They just move around. But I do think, to your question, I think we're getting towards the end of it. Mm. I think it's chaotic.
Yeah.
And that's why you see the price of oil went from $65 in the beginning of the year to $120. I think we're now, with the announcement, we're down around $80, which, again, not too bad. You know, $80, you can afford to fill up your vehicles again, maybe. You don't have to walk to work anymore. Maybe. So I think we're below
$5. How fast does that price at the pump compare to oil prices?
It's usually a lag of weeks to months. Again, if you're a gas operator at a fuel station and you were paying, you're getting price of oil in cheaper now, what do you think you're going to do? Keep the price a little bit higher, right? And as soon as that price goes up on the other way, they have raised it even before the stuff's coming into their gas station as well. So it's funny how it works. Rises really quickly, doesn't come down as quick as oil goes down. Shocker, huh?
That is a shocker.
So do you think the market is priced in like a full deal? Or do we continue to get, if the signing goes through on Friday, does the market go up quite a bit, or have
no, we kind of I think we've priced quite a bit already in, because I think even when it gets signed on Friday, there's the, to what Lisa's point is, like, yeah, something could be changing here in the next 2 weeks. Someone's going to drop a bomb here or some attack, and also it just kind of upsets the apple cart. So, but I think we're in the right direction, right? That price of oil is kind of my leading indicator of where the things are going. So that 65, 120 down to 80, I think at the end of the day, if we can stay in that 65 to 80, it's tolerable range. 120, 100, not good for the overall economy.
So I'll call you our man on the street.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the gorilla on the street.
I want to be called every man. I'm every man.
So oil goes up.
Yeah.
You start to feel at the pump.
Yeah.
Does it change your habits? Do you hear people complaining about it? Like, what do you...
I don't think it doesn't change, I think, most people's habits. I think it affects them other ways. It doesn't... I'm going to still drive to work. I'm going to still take my boat out. Like, I don't think anybody's changing that. I think it squeezes them other places. I don't know if you know this or not, but Americans are willing to spend money on things that aren't necessities. So it squeezes the necessities, runs credit card bills higher. They're going to continue to live. It's just going to affect them in other places.
Yeah.
And I do also believe that once you start pinching people financially and they get financially pinched, it starts to affect other areas of their life.
100%.
And I think that's a huge reason that divorce happens. It's a huge reason that, you know, you're more stressed at home with your kids. Like, it's not just the money aspect, it's the other parts it affects.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So do we think oil is now in a new range of, because we always used to say oil gets down to $45, it's a oil stocks and oil futures are always a good time to be buying. When it gets up to 60, it's a good time to be selling. Do we think we're in like a new range of 60 is the low, 70 is the low, and 100, 120 is the highs? Do you guys think we're in a new like era?
We're gonna step up. I'd say that if 45 was a low before, now you're probably at 55 to that 75, 85 ish kind of range. So I think right now at 80, we're on the high end of what I would call the new normal.
Okay.
I do think that over time, if things hold, we'll get back toward that 70, 75. Again, I think that's a decent spot. Oil companies make money. The consumer's not terribly affected. They're somewhat affected. The reason we talk about oil so much is because it touches everything, right? If you guys watch Landman, you've talked about it many times. It's these chairs we're sitting on, everything, these resins, these microphones, they all have a component of petrol in it. So as that price goes up, all this other stuff goes up as well, not just the gas station.
Yeah. Do we see pricing being pushed through yet? Do you think companies are going to say, hey, this product now costed us $4 to make instead of $3.50. and we're gonna send that through to the consumer? Are we at that point yet with oil being elevated for this amount of time, or do you think they're still holding off on pushing through prices because they know that the consumer's feeling stretch in other areas, not just at the pump and what oil's doing?
I think we saw a little bit of that when it comes to also the inflation reports, that it's not only energy prices, but also other prices and transportation, where we saw an increase there. But I think a lot of them are holding back because everyone is like, okay, how long does this take? How long does it take to be back to normal? Maybe we can hold off of it and it goes back to normal and we cannot get through it without pushing it through to the consumer. But the longer it takes, well, the more their companies are strained, their margins, and at some point they will push it through.
Yeah.
We saw that a little bit, and it's a little different situation, but we saw it with tariffs last year.
Yep.
It was ups and downs and yes and no and whatever percentage tariffs, and companies were hesitant to push it through to the consumer because they were like, yeah, maybe it's not as bad at the end, and let's figure this out and let's kind of hold off of that. And now we are seeing that a little bit, even now, like a year and a half later after it started, that companies have a little bit more idea of what it will be, and kind of starting to raising prices slowly, and pushing it through. So we might not know it now, but it can certainly be over the next couple of months as well.
Yeah. Okay, switching gears.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Man on the street, girl on the street.
Yeah, every man.
SpaceX IPO.
SpaceX IPO. I didn't get in, but I do have some questions.
Oh, you do?
I do. Yeah, oh. I have questions for you.
Well, then I'll let you take over.
Talk the man about on the street's asking questions.
Man on the street wants to know the valuation of SpaceX.
Ooh, nice.
And how, with really not making money and things, how does one get a valuation when it doesn't really make any money?
Yeah, I'll start out. So basically, look at the revenue. I think their run rate was around 20 billion. So, which is, again, the market cap of the company is now about, what, $2.5 trillion?
Trillion. That's a lot.
So there's one way of kind of valuing companies. If you don't, and again, they're making 20 billion or a lot. That sounds like a lot of revenue, right? But they're losing, I think it's like 40 billion. So they're going in the hole, right? So it's like,
That's the way my mouth.
Normally, when you want to invest in a company, you want to see cash flow, right? They can invest in companies and people and product. But some of these hyper growth companies, you can kind of, the investors skip that part of it and they look at their revenue growth rate.
Amazon didn't make money for years.
Exactly.
Uber didn't make, I don't even know 100%. If Uber still
so
does.
So a lot of those fat, I don't know if they do either. A lot of those fast, they actually do. A lot of those fast growing companies, you don't wait till they actually are profitable because by that point in time, the stock's actually made a run. Now the question is, how do we value this SpaceX? Since they don't have any earnings, can't do that. Cash flow's not there. So then a multiple of revenue, right? So then of that 20 billion, now we're at 2.5 trillion, you're talking over 100 times revenue, which, just to put that in perspective, is most companies are anywhere between 1.5, 2 times. The software companies are maybe at 15 times.
Okay. And we're so how many times?
Over 100 times.
Over 100 times. Got it.
So there's a lot.
Fundamentally, this is sounding strong.
Yes.
So valuation-wise, it's like screaming, flashing red lights.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the stock can't go up, and that's what we've seen. We've only had a couple days of trading. And again, so we get a lot of those questions. And for me personally, I have to, you know, invest through a lens of, I got to put some kind of valuation on it. So right now, currently, I got to wait till it pulls back a little bit personally.
Okay.
Before I invest.
Where is every man over here going to see the benefits of SpaceX products? where how is this going to enhance my life? That's what every man always wants to know. What about me?
What about me?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest part of the business is their satellite business.
Okay. Okay.
Or like Wi-Fi business.
Yeah. What's that one called? Where they go across the sky?
Starlink. Starlink. Guess who was a big fan of Starlink?
My father is a big fan of Starlink.
Sherman was. I remember a couple of years ago.
He was an early adopter.
Huge fan of it. He was. Yeah, so.
But that's where a majority of the revenue is coming from, is actually the Starlink business. So like XAI is underneath SpaceX.
Yeah.
The rocket business is underneath SpaceX, and then you have Starlink, which is underneath SpaceX.
Yep.
And
okay.
They're talking about potentially putting Tesla underneath and doing like a merger buyout. I don't really know how they're gonna
do
that.
I don't know. Now SpaceX is quite a bit bigger. And think about that. You know, Tesla's been around forever. Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Runner and both of
car, I can see the cars.
You can see the car, right? This.
But like, Chairman loves Starlink.
Does.
Because you could be in the middle of the woods and
which
you
is,
still
which
have
his
internet
cabin
service.
Is.
Yeah.
And he has his internet up there. That's what he loves.
Exactly. So that's the benefit to just the normal person like us of SpaceX. You can also go down the route of XAI, which is Grok, which is underneath that's connected to X, Twitter, however you wanna say it. So that's also gonna, at some point, they're gonna start trying to monetize that more and more. As far as this, the rocket business, you know, it's funny, we talked about this.
I hope that benefits me somehow, because that seems fun.
Well, so the
won't be tomorrow.
The latest thinking is these data centers need so much cooling that we're going to start building data centers in space.
I've seen and heard this. Cold and plenty of room.
There is a lot of room. Real estate is free. Seems
now I don't know how that works, but if you think about the weaving way to invest in that is robotics, because we're not going to be sending humans up there to be putting these things together.
Hammering it together?
Yeah. Maybe there's a space station that they'll go stay at. Maybe they'll monitor the robots or something, or remote control in from Earth. I don't know. But that's Starlink is the main business, and that's how people will utilize SpaceX.
Okay. In the foreseeable future.
Foreseeable future.
Understood. Yeah.
But that we've been getting a lot of questions from our clients and advisors, how to get access to it. And so pre-IPO, it was pretty hard to get, you had to have a private placement.
Talk about that, how that works. An IPO comes out, people own it. It's already sold when it comes out.
Exactly.
To every man over here. How did the non-every man get a hold of it?
So those are the high net worth people that invest early, you know, private investments early.
Rich get
those
richer, Keith.
100%. So those are the private investors. And when it goes IPO, it's public investor. That means the man on the street can actually go buy shares. You can go to your Schwab. From the private guy.
Okay.
He's, that and the company is going to allocate. Like, they're selling some of it. They're only selling 10% of the company. I think it's maybe 5%, right? It's a small allocation,
exactly,
right? So the owners themselves are keeping a lot, but they're cashing out. But they're invested in probably 50 times lower than where the average man's going to get the price at now. So there's a little bit of a risk that you start reading into. It's like valuation doesn't support it. It's basically like some people are saying it's basically a huge windfall for these early investors, private bad cats, right? And who's going to ultimately get stuck with it? The public people. I think there's value there, so I don't necessarily agree with that argument. But again, it's what do you pay for something? And we get a lot of questions. How are you guys going to, now it's actually public, we can buy it for our different portfolios. Tyler owns a portfolio that had an ETF. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so we bought an ETF called NASA. And they
Shocker,
had
a good name, huh?
NASA?
They had
NASA.
Okay, I get it.
When we first got into it, it was the allocation was about 12% to a special purpose vehicle that owned the private SpaceX shares. And as the fund grew, it went down to like 6% of the fund, of the overall ETF. But you can invest in IPOs through that route if you can't necessarily get access to it on the private side. So there's ways to invest ahead of time.
Kind of. It's not easy for the average man.
Not for every man over here. That's what I understood.
Yeah. But what's also interesting is IPOs, going off topic a little bit, IPOs are now, so Robinhood is kind of setting the stage, or has been setting the stage, for these other big brokerage platforms like Fidelity's and Schwab's, because they started opening up IPOs to the normal man. And so what we saw with the SpaceX IPO is they did the same thing. So Schwab, both Schwab and Fidelity, I think if you had $2,000 in your brokerage account, you could actually
put it over, right?
You subscribe saying, I want 15 shares. So they allowed you to do that. Now, you don't actually get all 15 shares that
you subscribed.
Want.
So
I tested it out. So I tried to get 15 shares of SpaceX and I got 10.
Okay.
Which is actually pretty good.
Pretty decent.
Just so you know, I talked to someone the other night. They used Robinhood.
Yeah.
They put in for 25 shares. They got one.
Really?
So that was it. I mean, so it's not like it was allocated, you know, across the board to the average.
I do think you have different investors attached to Robinhood than you do 100%. Charles Schwab.
That's,
you have some SpaceX diamond hands.
That's
GameStop-y people over there.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting, the fact that it wasn't allocated across the board on the retail when they actually did it. So.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
All right, guys. I think we're going to wrap up.
All right.
We got a business meeting to get to.
We do have a business meeting to get to, yeah.
So with that, like and subscribe. Hope you guys like the view. If you're listening, check out the YouTube video to see the view. And we will see you guys next week back at the office.
Investing involves the risk of loss. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be regarded as personalized investment advice or relied upon for investment decisions. Jeremy Bryan, Tyler Elligard, Keith Gangle, Lisa Schreiber, and David Ama are employees of Gradient Investments, LLC, and may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast. All opinions expressed by them and their guests are solely their own opinion and do not reflect the opinion of Grady Investments, LLC. Please consult your independent investment advisor before making any investment decisions. The information herein is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the sole basis for making an investment decision. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. For more information, please request a copy of Gradient Investments ADV Part 2A. Gradient Investments LLC is an SEC registered investment advisor.